talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 64. We have the boys and mom here with us.
Hello.
Hi. Yo.
And we are podcasting from the media room. We are not in the kitchen because if you listen really carefully, I don't think you'll be able to hear it, but Phoebe is teaching piano lessons today. So it kind of, the music room is too close to the kitchen where we usually podcast from. So we moved it up to the media room, which is a little bit more quiet. I think it's actually better acoustics up here, but.
Wait, are we right above the music room?
No, our room is right above the music room.
Yeah, we're sort of to the side of the music room.
No, I think we're right above
Mom and Dad's room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
Well.
Kind of.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Right now.
I noticed that your room is like right next to the music room, so I can always like hear what's going on in your room from the music room and vice versa.
Yeah. We can always tell if someone's like up past their bedtime in the media room watching movies.
Yeah, at our grandma's house, we figured out, from mom's side, we figured out which vents, like there's like these vent entrances that we like to talk through and figured out like which one's connected to which.
Oh yeah. I used to do that a lot when I was a kid because the vents in our house, like some of them were linked together and you could like talk to each other through the vents.
Yeah, I don't think we really have that in our house.
Well, all of our vents are on the ceiling, so you can't really talk right into the vents.
No.
In like the house that I grew up in, though, like the vents were close to the floor on the wall, and you knew which vents you could talk through and talk to each other.
So some of them were
kind of fun. It was like ghetto intercom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except more like walkie-talkies, because like we would like have secret missions. Not really secret missions. We would use them to sneak.
So it's a little bit late on a school night. I've got two words for you boys.
What?
Boy and wait. What is it? Do you know what that means?
Good night in Portuguese.
In Portuguese.
Can I explain the background behind that, though?
Yes. There's a long background behind this.
Okay,
sort
so of. every night, Henry...
As long as you guys remember, right? So ever since you've been little, I've been tucking you into bed.
And now we'll go through this routine of saying... We kind of add to the list as we grow older, but so far the routine is...
So what's the oldest one you remember?
Buenos noches. When you go to bed...
Buenos nachos,
yeah.
Yeah, so a long time ago, we started saying buenas noches and hasta mañana, and then it became...
Buenos nachos
and hasta banana.
And then we added
And then it went back to buenas noches and hasta mañana.
Then we added
Oyasumisai, which means good night in Japanese.
Right. And we tried to change it to like Oreo Super Sci-Fi, but that didn't really catch on.
No. So for the last, year or so, I think it's been buenas noches, hasta mañana, Oyasumisai. And all of us say it like at the last thing after you guys go to bed.
But I refuse to say boy noit because every night Henry like won't be satisfied until I go through that list. And I like refuse
it's
to.
It's a long list.
I was saying that we should just get like a spinner and just like flick it.
We should actually do that.
Have a spinner on the wall and so we'll know. And so like lately I've been saying boa noite, which is Portuguese because, so a couple weeks ago we announced that, and it's not for a long time, it's not till March of next year for spring break, the whole family's going to go to Portugal for a week.
Which, by the way, that turned out to be the exact same week that my orchestra's going to Italy.
Well, not your whole orchestra. I think it's just a special trip for kids that parents want to
No, it's
pay
my,
for
it's
it.
Actually no. All the orchestras in the district.
Well, yes, but it's not like the orchestra
they're
trip.
They're all invited.
Like, they're invited.
Yeah.
But it's not an official school activity.
It's not an official school trip.
I just thought that was funny though, that was in the exact same week.
Because it's spring break. So this year I got really excited because the last couple of years, you know, Elizabeth's been away at college and her spring break has been in a different week than the rest of us. So like 2 years ago, you guys got your passports for the first time and we took you to Costa Rica for spring break. Remember that? And that was really exciting, but Elizabeth didn't get to go with us because her spring break was a different week. So this year I figured out that everyone's spring break, including Elizabeth and all the kids, all of our spring breaks are on the same week. So I got really excited and I was looking for I'm on this Twitter account that sends me alerts when there are airfares from Dallas. And so when mom was away at camp with the girls camp, there was a sale on like all over Europe and it was super cheap tickets, but I knew I had to get them because when these sales go, like you have to buy them within hours or else the sale disappears. It's like these flash sales. And I looked and there were a whole bunch of cities in Europe and I just picked one and I picked the one where the weather is the best in March and that's Portugal. And so we're going to spend a week in Lisbon. And then I started researching it and it's like there's a lot of really cool stuff around there.
That's really funny because when you guys asked, there was this one time when you asked like if we were like about to go on a surprise vacation, where would we go? And I said Europe.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've never been to Europe actually. I've never in my whole long life, I've never been to Europe.
Me neither.
But you kids are going to get to go to Europe in March, and yeah, it'll be the first time I've been to Europe.
Okay, first time I've been to Europe. The first time he's been to Europe, and probably the first time I'm
no
to Europe.
So
we're
going
to go to Lisbon. We're going to spend a week there. We're going to get one night in Paris on the way back because we've got to stop over in Paris overnight. But Portugal is going to be really fun. So I've been studying Portuguese. I've got an app on my phone. I've actually got two apps on my phone. One's called Memorize, and one's called Duolingo. And mom's got the same apps. And we've been just practicing Portuguese. So I want to learn as much of the language as I can before I go so that maybe I can talk a little bit in Portuguese. Although I keep reading that like everyone in Portuguese speaks English anyway, or most people do, especially young people.
Wait, did you say everyone in Portuguese?
Everyone in Portugal.
Yeah, that's
what
he
meant
said,
to say.
But that's not.
Yeah, I was thinking we're really lucky that
Portugal and Portuguese are similar, but one's a language, one's a country.
I was thinking we're really lucky to be born into an English country.
Yeah, because I think English would be a really hard language to learn.
And plus, it's just everywhere.
And right now, it's kind of the language that everybody speaks internationally. So that is pretty lucky. But I'm super excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. But that's why at night I tell you guys.
Can I?
Boa noite.
This is kind of tangenty, but can I mention a short story about a different family vacation that was like a big family vacation?
Sure. Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, this is kind of tangenty again, but when we went on the cruise.
So that was during the podcast, like after we had started the podcast, we went on a cruise around Christmas time. It's like the week before Christmas.
Yeah, last Christmas. We were just like walking through a place and suddenly I noticed someone who I was like 99% sure went to my school and I could tell they did because his eyes were like growing huge.
Because he recognized you?
Yeah, his face was just like completely stunned.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about like in Texas, a lot of people have spring break on the same week. So the chances of running into someone from your school, I don't think we will in Portugal. Maybe we'll. Who knows? But like, especially if you go on a cruise out of Texas, like out of Galveston, the chances of seeing somebody from school are pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
And then later I ran into him and I was like, hey, do you go to my school? And he's just like, oh, hey, William, what's up?
So and he knew
it was
your kind name?
Of funny because, yeah, I didn't
sometimes,
actually know him that well.
Sometimes, Will.
Apparently.
Do you remember at the beginning of last school year? No, it was beginning of sixth grade. And I said, well, who's in your classes? And you were like, I don't know. And I was like, well, there's this girl that you go to church with. Isn't she in like at least one of your classes? Because I thought I heard that from her sister. And you were like, I don't know. I don't know who's in my classes. And I was like, you need to look around and find out who's in your classes their names.
I'm pretty sure at the time I had seen that person in the hallway, but I didn't actually know before that she was at her church.
Seriously?
Sometimes you got to put two and two together.
Yeah.
But
sometimes.
Sometimes you have to get but four.
Apparently his sister didn't believe him, but yeah, I thought that was really funny.
That is pretty funny.
So did she think that that you were just like pretending that you didn't know?
No, I think his sister didn't believe her brother when she said that he said that he saw someone from her school. Hence his
wait,
too many pronouns.
About? Yeah, so many pronouns. Are we talking about the cruise?
I'm talking about the person. Apparently the person that I met sister apparently didn't believe that
that there was someone
from
school. I suddenly
feel really self-conscious because dad's taking a picture of me. But
just keep going.
Yeah, his sister didn't believe him when he said that he ran into someone from school.
Yeah.
By the way, So I guess this connects back to what you were saying. I am really glad they're staying in a resort instead of a cruise, because now I've been on both and I've decided which one's better.
No, we're not going to a resort. No. So actually what we're doing, so we got really good airfare, like super cheap airfare, like cheaper than it would cost to fly to Utah, really, to go all the way to Portugal. But we're staying in an apartment. So it's an Airbnb apartment. And it's in a really cool building, and it's like right next to the Lisbon Cathedral, which is like in the historic part of town. So that should be really fun too. Like there's a trolley or a tram that goes right in front of our apartment.
It's a very cute trolley.
I think it'll be really fun. Who knows?
I just had a scary thought. What if something goes like horribly wrong and it turns out that we can't go to Portugal?
Yeah, I always worry about that, especially when I plan a vacation like way in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing you should know about your dad is when I plan a vacation, I really plan a vacation. I like plan lots and lots of details. I've got this big spreadsheet with like what we'll be doing every hour of the day for a week.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it doesn't, we don't have to do exactly that, but it's like, here's what we can do. And yeah, it's just like, I get really excited about that. That's like fun for me.
This is the train you need to take from the airport. And these are the arrival times.
And here's like a good restaurant to eat at when we're in this part of town.
Several restaurants.
Plan the best vacations.
I really like planning. That's like half the fun for me is like planning it all out.
I think so far my favorite vacation that you guys have like, plan that's been a really nice one is Costa Rica.
I'm glad that was really fun. That was
something
great.
I can't get over though is how tiny the countries are in Europe.
Yeah,
like, just kinda, like, Portugal's not that big. It's about the size of Virginia.
That just kind of like hurts my mind. I'm sorry if there are any European listeners, but that just kind of like hurts my mind to think about.
You could probably fit about 3 Portugals inside the state of Texas.
Yeah, but
at the same time, Spain's though, like if you think about like Houston to Dallas, like that part of Texas is probably about the size of Portugal. So it's not like it's so tiny that, you know, because it takes a long time to get to Houston.
Probably the reason why that kind of makes your head hurt a bit, sorry, European listeners, is because isn't the USA like the third largest country in the world?
By population?
Size.
Probably population.
I don't know if it is. I think Russia is the biggest.
And then there's Canada, and then there's the USA.
But there's also like Brazil and
China. Brazil's really big.
China. Yeah.
China's really big.
Australia's
India,
actually pretty
Greenland.
Big.
Greenland.
Australia, I figured I was like close to the size of the United States.
It's
so
in
not
the
sure.
top
it,
10.
It might be. It probably is in the top 10, but I don't know if it's the third.
I thought about how the United States and Canada seem to be like the only countries that I know of that divide up. They're parts of the countries. Like, I can't really think of any other countries that do that.
Canada does.
Yeah.
A lot of countries
United States
do.
And Canada. But that's
I think
all
actually
I can think
Portugal
of.
Does. I think they have, like, districts. Like, I don't think they call them states, but they call them, I don't know.
Australia has states.
And England kind of does, because you have, like, Scotland and Wales and England and... Did I say England?
That's Great Britain.
So England is actually just part of Great Britain. And then like within each of the parts of Great Britain, like within England, there's shires, which are like counties kind of.
Huh. And then there's Iceland, which is part of the UK. It's isolated.
Iceland's not part of the UK.
Oh, I thought it was.
Northern Ireland is.
Oh.
Iceland is its own country.
Yeah.
Wait, only Northern Ireland?
I was thinking of Ireland.
Ireland.
It's just Northern Ireland is part of UK.
No, it's just Ireland.
It's like that Ireland. Northern part, like where Belfast is part of UK. The rest of Ireland is its own country.
You know, I asked since
Yes.
Look it up.
You know, since a lot of... There's a Hindu temple close to where we live, so a lot of Indian people go to my school. And I asked a few of them if India was like divided up in any way. And they said that like, it was only like kind of like politically divided up.
There are regions in India, like Punjab is a region within India. Mm-hmm. And Tamir is a region. But I don't know if they're politically divided or if it's just where the regions are. So right now there's a really bad hurricane in Houston. I think the hurricane is starting to die down, but there's flooding all over a big portion of Texas. But some people ask, like I had someone on Twitter ask if everyone in the podcast was okay. And I think what, you know, people hear that there's something going on in Texas and they don't realize that Dallas is a long ways away from where the hurricane is. So we're fine, but we're thinking a lot and I started thinking about like maybe if there's anything we can do for the people out in Houston, because they're going to need a lot of help. Mm. But we're safe. So just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
Have you seen all the pictures of all the flooding?
No.
They were saying they're saying it's like a 500-year storm. Like the type of flooding you only get every 500 years. Isn't that crazy?
Whoa, okay. That must be severe.
I mean, there were like highways. Because you remember we drove through Houston on the way to Galveston?
Is it?
And there are highways that are just look like rivers.
That is crazy.
And like the water is like all the way up to where the street signs are on the highways.
And I think they're still expecting the rain to continue for a few days.
I'm guessing that it's worse than Hurricane Katrina?
It's similar because the thing about both of those storms is they built into really big storms and then they just kind of sat on the coast and kept pounding the coast for days and days. And that's why both of those storms were really bad.
And Harvey didn't stay a hurricane for very long after it hit the coast. It downgraded to a tropical storm, but then it just stuck around.
So Houston and Corpus Christi, I think that they're not... It might not be quite as bad as Katrina was because New Orleans is kind of unique because it's got these levees and it's got a whole bunch. So when it floods really badly and the town is really low compared to sea level. So it might not be as bad in some ways as New Orleans was because New Orleans is geographically it's really at risk when there's a bad storm like that. But I think in terms of just how much water and how much wind there was, it's very similar to Katrina.
Mm. So would people just get like stranded inside their houses?
Well, there are people that got stranded in their houses.
And they've been rescuing them. So they go in with boats and rescue them and bring them out.
I bet screen doors.
There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be living like refugees for a while.
I bet screen doors might be kind of helpful. I'm not done.
Well, yeah.
Screen doors. Just,
like, well, actually, no, never mind. That wouldn't really.
Well, then you could just like take a knife and cut through it. But
so how's school been? You guys had the first week of school last week. How's everything going with school? You're both in middle school together. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah. I think it's actually really fun.
What's your funnest part, William?
Multimedia. You probably already knew that, but.
And then you said that's your first class of the day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in multimedia? Tell us a little bit about.
But that way I get to like kick off the day with a good start. Multimedia is basically like, so have you ever been in, if you ever want to be in like a class that offers like a, where you get to do like incredibly amazing things with computers. One problem is that sometimes you get sick of doing the same thing all the time. So that's why we get to do like 10 other things. One thing that I like about multimedia is that we're always doing different things. Okay, we've only worked on one thing in class, but I know what we're going to be working on. I'm really excited about it. So far, we've only made, like, these stop-motion animations in Google Slides, which was still really fun, but eventually we'll get to do, like, Photoshop and iMovie, and, like, I think we'll get to, like, make a movie as a class.
So it's, like, doing stuff on a computer that's, like, presentations and animations and stuff like that?
Yeah, we'll get to use stuff like Vegas Pro, if you know what that is.
Is that, like, video editing?
Yeah, it's, like, what most... like professional video editors use. It's really helpful.
That sounds fun. What about you, Henry? What's your favorite thing so far about middle school?
I don't know. It's really fun.
How is band so far?
It's good. I finally started to play the trombone a bit in lessons. Not like make different notes, just playing it.
Did you learn how to spit into the mouthpiece?
Not spit into it.
Well, do the like the lip.
Blow into the
mouthpiece. Do the raspberry thing that makes it make noise.
Yeah.
Can I talk about the...
Is the trombone, like, as big as you are?
Sorry. Maybe, like, the height of from my head down to my waist.
I kind of think trombones are cool because they're
like
the only...
Half a Henry.
They're the only instrument I know of that you can slide. You can have notes that slide.
Yes. Yeah. It's so fun.
I've always thought trombones were kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Also, one thing that I haven't done yet that I need to figure out how to do is play.
Yeah, we definitely need that as a drop for the show.
I noticed that every instrument has its own sound effect. Can we talk about the melon drinks that we got in our lunches?
Sure. So you guys had school lunch today, or you didn't have school lunch. You had lunches we packed. And over the weekend, we went to our favorite Asian grocery store called H Mart.
Please sponsor us.
Stocked up on soy sauce and some other things that we always get when we go to H Mart. But mom saw a display for something that was called melon milk. Is that what it's called?
It's melon flavored milk, kind of like chocolate milk or strawberry milk.
Yeah. And it came in these little green, like juice boxes, kind of, mm-hmm. except they were milk boxes, I suppose.
Yep.
And you guys had them in your lunches today, and
I was kind of.
What's your conclusion?
Okay, I was kind of scared to.
Was it
start drinking
ew,
them
seriously?
That is so gross.
Because no. Yeah, it could be either.
Well, it could be
it
anything.
It could be either.
Ew, seriously,
that is so gross.
Or it could be
yum 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 delicioso.
It could also just
wait. Where's that drop clippers? From?
I updated cleaner. The drop because the old one was kind of noisy. And so I got a newer one. It's from Dora the Explorer. It's the backpack on Dora the Explorer.
It was really good. It says Phoebe really liked it. Phoebe said that it tasted like melted melon ice cream. And I think when I heard that, I was like, wait, so did she like it or not?
Yeah, but melon is a really popular flavor in like Asia, in East Asia, like in Japan and
Korea.
I guess Korean places.
But it just tastes like really sweet, and it's a good blend of flavors. It's not really something. I haven't really thought about that before. I noticed that the type of milk that's in cartons like that, like the one type of milk that's at Jason's Deli, or they use at Jason's mm-hmm. Deli. I forgot what that's called, but it's like has a cow on the earth.
Yeah, I know the one you're like, talking about. I can't remember what that's called either, but it's like organic
Danons?
Milk.
Or is Danon's just yogurt?
No, I think Danon's is yogurt. It's like a organic milk that's... I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember what it's called either.
Yeah.
It's
good. It's
really yummy. Yeah. There's like chocolate.
The chocolate is really good.
Yeah.
Henry, what's your thoughts on the melon milk?
It's good, but... Or I feel like it would be good if I didn't have my sandwich, which was savory, first.
Didn't leave a that funny was a mistake. Taste in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Really? The mustard in your sandwich didn't taste good with it?
Didn't.
So you would like to drink all your milk and then eat your sandwich?
Yes.
All right. Well, now you'll know next time.
Oh, look, Matt, sometimes I kind of weird order. Sometimes I end up like at the very end eating my dessert and then eating the carrots.
Yeah. I like to eat. I don't even care if the flavors blend. I like to eat like a variety of things. Like I don't like to eat one thing and then the next thing. Some people like to eat like all one thing. And then all the next thing, I like to eat it so that like you have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And so everything is just sort of equal.
Yeah.
So when you're done, you have just a little bit of milk left and you can wash it down.
I sometimes do that depending on...
That's my eating strategy.
Same. I sometimes do that depending on what it is. Like it's something that I really like grapes in a bag. And sometimes I'll like eat a few and then like take a sandwich break.
Do you eat... So if there's if you have like four things for lunch and one of them is your favorite, do you eat that first or do you eat it last?
Last.
Well, it depends. Usually if it's a dessert, then I'll eat it like second to last and then like
second to last.
And I'll eat like the carrots last.
Oh, really? I always save the best thing for last. Like it's just, that's how I like to do it.
Okay, sometimes I have like a few crumbs of dessert and then like in the middle.
I'm always really like kind of disappointed whenever I finish eating a cookie or whatever.
Same.
Should we do some news?
Yes. Sure.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right, does anybody have a good news story to share with us?
I do.
William?
Okay, keep in mind this is going to be really controversial.
Yeah, this story, I shouldn't find it funny, but I do. And some people are going to be just horrified.
You find a lot of news
stories funny. I'm a little bit horrified, but I think some people will be especially horrified.
Okay. Out of the fire, onto the barbecue. Rescued piglets served to UK firefighters.
No!
I don't know if I'm crying or laughing.
Both.
Both.
Okay.
Young pigs that were saved from a fire in southwest England earlier this year have been served to their rescuers as sausages
by
the farmer who wanted to thank the firefighters for their efforts. Okay, I need to say something about
this. Or is it?
No!
What's the point of saving the piglets if you're just going to eat them? Well, it's like saying, like, since I saved your sandwich from dropping on the ground, can I eat the entire thing?
So on the one hand, it's this heartwarming heartwarming story about these piglets that get saved from a fire by firefighters.
No.
And then at the end of the story, it's a story about a barbecue.
Okay, if you're going to do that, let it die.
But the thing that makes it
fire.
Together is...
Those firefighters.
No, it's the piglets.
Well,
no, it's...
The piglets are the stars of both stories.
Okay, you or, know what?
Okay,
you
or
know
it
what
could be the firefighters.
The part.
It could be the firefighters
farmer.
Who messed up. Okay, yeah, the farmers messed up. I'm wondering how happy the firefighters were about that, because if I put a lot of effort into saving living creatures, I'm not so sure that I would want those for
one
dinner.
Thing is,
well, I think it all comes down to how much they like sausage.
Okay, one thing is, it says, by the farmer who wanted to thank the firefighters for their efforts, why would you even... You don't thank someone... That's like saying, thanks for this present. Your reward is, have this present.
But you know what, though? Well, if you're a pig farmer, you understand where food comes from.
It's
it
true.
Doesn't come from the grocery store.
And the pigs
it comes
that were
from
saved.
What you grow at your farm.
Okay, the pigs that were saved were destined to be eaten by somebody
like
eventually.
Like,
but
these pigs were not pets. They were food all along.
I feel like these like super shocking news stories are really good for the podcast.
I don't know. I was a little worried about this one just because some people don't like to think about food being animals. And
I'm just thinking about Babe.
Yeah.
Okay. You know? There's more. The 18 piglets and two sows were rescued after an electrical fault set hay on fire at a farm in Milton Lilbourne, 70 miles or 110 kilometers west of London in February. And when the pigs were slaughtered, farmer Rachel Rivers said it was appropriate to give the firefighters some of the sausages to show her appreciation. She's wrong.
I kind of agree with the farmer here.
Okay, this is the part that I really hate. I'm sure all the vegetarians will hate this if Rivers told the BBC, explaining that farmers was a way of life. You cannot excuse this behavior. You.
It's reality, though. You like bacon.
Yeah, also,
admit
I want
it.
To leave
you
now.
Like bacon.
But my philosophy on that is, first of all, by eating the bacon, I mean, it's already dead. And second of all, some people may say, oh, well, you're supporting the cause. But I feel like, first of all, I'm not even the one who bought it. And second of all, we wouldn't really make that much of a difference. Like, the people who made the bacon would still keep on producing that bacon.
Yeah, and you know who does? Farmers like this one in Southeast England.
Also, just because you don't pay for it doesn't mean that you're not being hypocritical here.
Well, you're the one who bought it, Mom. You can't.
Right. I'm not as horrified as you. Like, I am somewhat horrified. I am, because it's a little bit weird. Like, I don't necessarily feel bad for the pigs, although it's a little bit weird. But I do feel bad kind of for the firefighters.
They're
okay, 18 piglets.
Okay, and the baby.
They're forced to kill...
Maybe we need to move on from the piglets and talk about... We need a creepy clown update.
Wait, hold on.
One last thing. Not that
a
one.
A spokesman for the fire service said the sausages were fantastic and thanked Rivers for her generosity.
So the firefighters had a good attitude about it.
Or at least the spokesman did.
For some reason, and this might just be my own prejudices and stereotypes, but I don't think there being too many vegan firefighters. They seem like meat eaters to me.
Yeah,
they do. Maybe not so much as police, but almost maybe.
Firefighters, you know, they tend to be big, muscular guys.
Yeah,
probably enjoy
vegans.
Their bacon and sausage.
I've known some muscular
All right,
vegans. But
let's get a creepy clown update.
Okay.
This is important. This is hard-hitting news. So about a year ago, there were all these stories about homicidal clowns that ended up being, you know, false alarms.
There's another part of the drama in 2016.
It was, yeah. So this is an update, and it's an actual news story. One-armed machete-wielding man in creepy clown mask arrested in Maine. Isn't that where it started last time? I swear it's where it started last time.
It started in North Carolina.
Did
in
it?
South Carolina.
I thought it started in Maine or like New Hampshire. Somewhere in.
I heard South Carolina, actually. I think
really?
Henry's right. I remember hearing South Carolina, but it kind of spread all over the country.
Quickly, yeah.
But this is, Maine is becoming a big player in our news articles here.
Yeah, like
I think
almost more than Florida.
Florida
maybe.
Has a lot of stories, but Maine suddenly is having lots of stories.
Yeah. Mostly wildlife, though. So in addition to the wildlife, there's a one-armed machete-wielding man. Okay, this is an urban legend. He's one-armed machete-wielding.
It's crazy, isn't it?
In a creepy clown mask in Maine.
Bizarre.
So I don't know. I want to, like, imagine some scenario where it was, like, him versus,
spreading false news.
No.
I know, I was kidding.
Stop. Him versus Chupacabra.
Him, I was thinking versus. Bigfoot. No, I was thinking the rabid raccoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was in Maine.
Don't go walking in the Maine woods, boys.
Although
don't
he's
do
got
it.
The machete, though, so that might help.
I'm saying I don't want all myself right. or anyone that I care about walking through the woods in Maine, because there, in addition to rabid wildlife, we've got a one-armed machete-wielding guy
in right,
a clown
mask. Give us
the
details.
But they did arrest him, so maybe he's not, you know, in the woods anymore. Maybe it's safe now. Police arrested a Maine man who was reportedly dressed as a creepy clown and wielding a machete. Maine State Trooper Adam Schmidt said concerned residents called 911 around 6 p.m. Tuesday after spotting a man wearing a black hooded sweatshirt, clown mask, and holding a machete. The man reportedly ran off into the woods when spotted. State police said they had trouble tracking him, and additional calls came in over the next hour. According to authorities, just after 7 p.m., they spotted the clown and were able to take him into custody. So that only took them an hour to find him. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Corey Berry, 31, was charged with criminal threatening and transported to the York County Jail, where he posted $200 bail. According to authorities, the machete was duct taped to his arm, which state police said was apparently amputated. Trooper Schmidt said Barry was very intoxicated but cooperated with state police. Barry told officers he was trying to play a prank and copied previous creepy clown sightings, so it was a copycat.
You're about
crime.
Like 1 year late.
This incident comes almost a year after the killer clown craze began in the U.S. with reports of people dressed as clowns trying to lure children into the woods in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Reports of creepy clown sightings spread across the country and into the U.K.
So very drunk man dresses up as a clown, duct tapes a machete.
Wait, how do you know that was very drunk?
Why do we keep on having...
It said very drunk in the article.
I feel like I've been having a lot of stories about drunk people doing random things.
Yeah. Or so, drunk people.
Yeah. Just don't drink, guys. Take up drinking.
All right. I've got a story out of Japan. Do you guys know that more and more a lot of humans are having their jobs replaced by robots? Automation is a big thing, and people are concerned about it.
And touchscreens. Touchscreens have been replacing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a robot in Japan you can now hire a robot in Japan to be your Buddhist priest at your funeral.
Whoa.
That doesn't, even though we're not Buddhists, that still doesn't sound
ethical. It says a Japanese company has introduced a new role for SoftBank's humanoid. SoftBank is like a big telecommunications company in Japan. SoftBank's humanoid robot Pepper, a Buddhist priest for hire at funerals. Chanting sutras in a computerized voice while tapping a drum, the robot was on display Wednesday at a funeral industry fair, the Life Ending Industry Expo in Tokyo. Nisei Echo Company, an unlisted plastic molding maker, made the chanting software for Pepper, which was introduced by SoftBank Group Corporation in 2014. With Japan's population aging and shrinking, many Buddhist priests receive less financial support for their communities, prompting some to find part-time work outside their temple duties, said Michio Inamura, Nisei's executive advisor. The funeral robot could step in when a priest is not available, he said. It also costs about 50,000 yen, about $450 per funeral, compared to 240,000 yen, or about $2,200 for a human priest. So it's a lot cheaper to have a robot priest than a human priest at your
funeral.
That
doesn't sound correct.
Buddhist priest Tetsugi Matsuo said he came to the expo himself to see if Pepper could impart the heart aspect to a machine, because I believe that the heart is the foundation of religion. The robot has not yet been hired for a funeral. So if you're a Buddhist living in Japan, you can have a robot show up to your funeral instead of a live priest. But no one's done it yet. It's a lot cheaper because that's, you know, robots are cheaper than human labor.
If I were to have the choice between the robot and the actual priest, I would go with the priest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It would be kind of cool and high tech, though. All your friends might get a kick out of it.
Yeah, during a funeral?
It seems like an odd place to have a robot, doesn't it?
Japan is getting really good at making robots.
They are.
I've seen videos of like these really, really realistic robots that are supposed to look like humans.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
And those
realistic
robots can, like, interact with you, too. Like, you can talk to them. They can recognize your voice and respond to you.
Also, someone asked a robot, will you take over the world? And the Japanese robot said yes.
I know, it, like, glitched. And
said yes. Oh, yeah.
It glitched.
What was creepy, we talked about this on the podcast. I'm not sure if it was one you boys were on. But what was really creepy was Facebook was experimenting with AI or artificial intelligence.
I was reading the article.
And they set
it
up so that both of, like, two artificial intelligence could talk to each other. And they started developing their own language that the people couldn't understand.
Whoa. That is
so
amazing.
So they, like, started to conspire.
I feel like...
And so they had to shut it down. Because it's just crazy.
I still feel like robots are never going to invade the world because... Okay, yeah, obviously not, but...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I hope not. But there are a lot of really smart people that think it's dangerous to experiment too much with artificial intelligence.
But I feel like something can never be smarter than its own creator.
Except
the creator
what about
has to make
like
that.
Though they have computers that are better at chess now than grand champions.
Oh,
okay.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Like they can't. Like, even the best person in chess in the world can't beat a computer now because the computers have gotten so good.
Yeah, robots are going to take over the world, build a bunker.
Yeah, pretty scary.
The robots will find the bunker.
All right, Henry, do you want to do your story? Oh, your story, I think, requires a...
drop.
I think it requires a drum roll. So, Henry, we've talked about twice on the podcast already, we've talked about the Big Tex Choice Awards, which are the foods they have at the Texas State Fair, most of whom are fried. We now have a winner of the Big Tex Choice Awards.
And it is... the Funnel Cake Burger. Making queso burger, actually.
To which I say...
This but is they the one. Included so, a picture. It looks great.
I think it looks terrible.
Look at the picture.
I know we're going to put a picture on.
Anything can.
We'll put a picture on Twitter and on Instagram. But I think it looks terrible.
Really?
So this is the one. Like when we first got the list, all we had were the names, and then when we got the semifinals, we had the names and the descriptions. And when I saw the name and the description, I thought that sounds awful because it's like the bun for the cheeseburger is two funnel cakes, and in the middle it's a beef patty with queso.
And that sounds, and alone that sounds good. But
that
if you
sounds
put,
disgusting.
Yes, but then you put powdered sugar.
Sweet and cheeseburger together sounds
without
awful.
The powdered sugar, it would not be sweet and cheeseburger.
Two things.
Yeah, so they put, and then they put powdered sugar on the.
No, nobody needs a frosted cheeseburger.
Okay, two things. No. First of all, Henry, with the right photography, anything can look good.
Yeah, I know, that
but
was a joke.
Second of all, it's like that one Saturday Night Live sketch they showed us with the taco where they kept on putting on layers.
Taco Town.
Yeah. Taco Town tacos.
They like completely predicted the future though.
Yeah, they did.
I don't think I've put that drop on yet. I got the drop from that, but I don't think I've put it on my soundboard yet.
But it gets awesomer.
Gets even awesomer. But the thing, and the really bad thing about this, the funnel cake cheeseburger, is it seems like super messy because a funnel cake like has holes in it. It's not like a bun. You can't hold it.
Oh yeah.
Wrong.
Phoebe just walked in. So that's the number one. That won the Big Choice Awards.
You're wrong.
The funnel.
I mean, you're right about it winning.
The funnel cake queso cheeseburger won.
You're wrong.
Are you done with your piano lessons now?
I am.
All right, Henry. Is there anything else in the news story that we need to know about?
I would just like you to know that the funnel cake burger sounds delicious, and you're hating, but it's probably great. And also, you eat it with a fork, just like you would eat a funnel cake with a fork. Easy. Goodbye.
I feel like it's just
goodbye.
Just,
and cooky fries. Goodbye. I'm done. My point has been made.
The cookie fries were not very good. No, I feel like it's ruining both the funnel cake and the burger.
I would
feel angry that my funnel cake has been ruined and that my cheeseburger has been ruined.
I feel like we need
Big Tex.
I feel like we need like an entire segment.
That's the lowest common denominator.
I feel like we need an entire segment about ranting about the cookie fries.
So I think the article, I can't remember if it's this article or another one, said that they felt like this was an upset win. A lot of people thought that the fried Fruit Loops were going to win. but
yeah, the funnel cake
queso cheeseburger was the winner.
The Fruit Loops, you know what? Those would actually be good.
The fried Fruit Loops could turn out like the fried Jell-O, though, where it's really just fried stuff and like you can't tell what it's based off of.
Okay, there are two awards, and this almost got the best taste sweet, but it got the best taste savory.
So what got the best taste sweet?
The Gulf Coast Fish Bowl.
Which was also one that I think sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Which is like fruit punch with alcohol in it and Swedish fish and nerds.
And alcohol.
I think that
and
sounds,
more alcohol.
I think it sounds kind of gross.
It has a bunch of alcohol.
Yeah, it's just like an alcoholic drink that you put a whole bunch of candy in.
I've noticed... Yeah. Stuff like the...
Which one, the sweet one?
Stuff like the fried Jell-O. I wonder, like, if there's so little of that part, then, like, what do they even fry?
Like, yeah, they always have to find a weird way to trick it.
Maybe they just, like, have a collection of literally just, like, fried layer.
Well, I think with the... Yeah. We talked about this on the podcast, though. With the Fruit Loops, they, like, put them around, like, a marshmallow center, and they put the Fruit Loops around that, and then they fried that.
That actually sounds good.
Makes sense, right?
Okay, more about this. This got best taste savory and most creative. I mean, it is kind of creative.
You know
but
what
at
else got most
time?
Creative? Cookie fries. And it was creative. It just.
Cookie fries.
Yeah, the most creative ones are not good.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of other ones on that list that I would rather have.
I mean, it was creative, and like the chocolate dip was good, but yeah, that, again, that's. A whole other discussion.
Yeah, that was last year when we went to the fair. Let's do let's do a hypothetical. What I just said was only hypothetical. Oh. All right, I've got a couple of hypotheticals here. These are, again, from Chuck Klosterman's Hypotheticals. And I think these two are kind of interesting. They're not very... brutal, like some of the hypotheticals are, but they're just kind of interesting. Here's this one's called Rudimentary Magician, and it goes like this. Let us assume that you met a rudimentary magician. Let us also
What's
assume
rudimentary?
That means basic.
Oh,
and just a basic magician. Let us also assume that he can do five simple tricks. He can pull a rabbit out of his hat, he can make a coin disappear, he can turn the ace of spades into a joker card, and he can do two others in a similar vein. These are his only tricks, and he can't learn any more. He can only do these five. However, it turns out that he's doing these five tricks with real magic. It is not an illusion. He can actually conjure the bunny out of the ether, and he can move the coin through space. He is legitimately magical, but extremely limited in scope and influence. Here's the question. Would this person be more impressive than Albert Einstein?
That's kind of, that just seemed really random. Like, it seemed like they're setting up something completely different.
Maybe more impressive
so
than Houdini?
So he knows five magic tricks.
Yeah.
But he is actually magic. They are
I
not
think
illusions.
He would. Like, this is groundbreaking.
Okay, the question is, would he be more impressive than Houdini?
Yes!
No, because Houdini is an illusionist, right? So we know that Houdini's tricks are magic. So I think it's more interesting to think about. So what would it be like to be around... Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, you know, just to state the obvious, was a genius, right? He was smarter than nearly everyone who's ever lived. Like, he thought on a completely different level and was able to totally rethink physics. Being around Albert Einstein would be extremely impressive because you'd be like, wow, this person is amazingly smart.
But I feel like I have so many questions.
There have been other amazingly smart people.
I feel like, first of all, I have so many questions that eventually just be like, just shut up. And also, he probably was already getting like crazy tons of questions. Unless he's
talking
those...
about Einstein?
Einstein or the magician?
Or the magician.
Einstein.
I would have more questions for the magician. Because Einstein, like, I know if I asked him questions, I wouldn't understand the answers.
Yeah, but I feel like he would know how to interpret it into...
Maybe.
Our ways.
What about, so like... If you had a chance to talk to the magician, though, like, I guess you'd want to know, like, how did you learn how to do this? How did you find out that you were magical?
Yeah, this is basically just cutting physics down and then replacing it with something completely different.
But the thing is...
It's not like just adding on to physics like Einstein did.
Do you think the magician would be able to explain it, or would it just be like, he just can't?
Another thing is...
I don't know.
Okay, everyone knows that Albert Einstein is, like, the smartest person ever. But also, we don't really know, like, how good of a person he was. I mean, you can probably figure that out, but
It seems like, from what I've read about Albert Einstein, he was a pretty good person.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he did, like, help with the...
Well, no, not just because he was smart. He was, like, not... I mean...
He seemed, like, kind of compassionate and understood people as well.
Yeah.
Also,
he doesn't seem like a bad guy at all.
Apparently, he grew up doing a lot of stuff that Henry did, like, making, like, physical creations.
Mm-hmm. So, do we know anything about the magician other than he's actually magic?
All we know about him, according to this hypothetical, is he can do 5 magic tricks, but they're actual magic. Like, he can actually reach into an empty hat and pull out a rabbit.
I'd ask, can you teach me to do that? He can make a coin
disappear.
Okay, so we don't know whether or not he even knows what he's doing. Like, if it's happening for him, or is it something he had to learn to do that he could tell us about?
Is it something he was just born with and just one day he figured out, you know what, I can do this. I can do magic.
Okay.
Or did he learn how to do magic, and is it something he could teach?
Because that would be more interesting. Even if he couldn't teach it, like, if he had to, like, learn it and, like, figure out how to do it, and he could explain, like, how he does it, even if it couldn't be replicated, that would be cool. But if it's just, like, I can do this, I don't know why. You know.
Okay, you know what he could do? He could keep on duplicating coins and then go to Coinstar and cash it in for like a $1 million bill.
Maybe. So here's the I'm going to ask the question slightly differently than Chuck Klosterman did. If you had an opportunity to spend an evening with Albert Einstein or with a real magician who actually knew how to do magic, which one would you choose?
I do Albert Einstein because he only knows 5 tricks. Not like he's going to be, I'm just going to pay for it with magical stuff.
I don't know. If it's actual magic, would you ever get over, like, watching him do it, even though it's only a few tricks?
Okay, the thing is, with a real magician, I'm guessing I probably couldn't just, like, ask him for him to spawn me money, because I feel like that's kind of like how you can't ask a genie for infinite wishes.
I'm going to argue for spending time with a magician just because, think about it this way, I think I would run out of things to talk about with Albert Einstein because I don't understand what he's talking about.
But like, I feel like,
exactly,
you know? I think he would know, like, how to...
I sort of know some things about the theory of relativity, but it's a certain level, it's like, it's so beyond me that I can't speak the same language as Albert Einstein.
But I feel
with a magician, I can watch it and I can ask a whole bunch of questions, and it would be kind of fascinating that way.
But I feel like with Albert Einstein, he would know how to interpret it into, like, something you could understand.
Yeah, he even said if you can't explain something simply, you don't know it. So, yeah. That actually be easy to understand.
So, who do you pick? You pick Albert Einstein?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, because he's not just going to go up to, like, Henry and say, if he asked, like, how time travel works, he wouldn't just say, because he knows that he's just, like, an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
All right, I got one more hypothetical here. This one is called Forever 75. It says, you celebrate your 75th birthday in good health. As far as you can tell, you are a spry, relatively normal 75-year-old. So you're 75-year-old, but really healthy. And this condition does not seem to change over time. When you celebrate your 80th birthday, you look and feel exactly as you did on your 75th.
Oh yeah, I saw this one.
When you hit 90, you still look and feel like you're 75. On your 100th birthday, you realize that most of your friends are now dead and dying, but physically, you are the same independent person you were 25 years ago. You hit the age 110 with the same results. Every year, you are celebrating a new birthday without physically evolving beyond the age of 75. Doctors have no explanation for this inexplicable status. How old would you have to be before you would start to seriously believe that you are immortal?
125.
I feel
that's a pretty good answer.
25.
Because people don't get that old.
I feel like around,
like, the oldest person's like 110, 115.
Honestly, 75 is not that old if you're in good shape. I think about, like, my dad is 73.
I feel like around 100. I think around 100, I would at least start to suspect that something is up.
Yeah, 75 is not that old. I mean, there are a lot of really healthy 75-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Most people are retired by that age, but there are a lot of really healthy.
Also, I feel like from what that sounds, I'd end up like that one character in Fablehaven, like just going completely crazy.
A little bit. I think that's the drawback of immortality, because
you go completely insane.
Well, it's a little bit like they talk about that on Doctor Who sometimes, right? That the Doctor is just so tired of being so old and watching all of his friends grow old and leave him.
Yeah, there's a difference between...
I have to wonder how much you would even remember. Like,
there's a difference, there's a difference between invincibility and immortality. Or right, maybe it's the other way. I don't know which one's which.
The other thing that'd be weird, too.
One is you...
You die of old age, but you can't be killed?
Or no, one is you can't...
Immortality means you don't die, basically.
Yeah, but and I think invincible... I'm pretty sure... I don't know. I know that one means that you can be, like, killed, but you can't die of old age. And
invincible
one
means
that,
you can't be harmed.
But you can
immortal
die of old
age. Immortal
means
you're not going to die.
But I thought that immortality meant that you... I don't know.
It means you won't
immortality.
Die.
I thought immortality meant, like, you could be...
That means death. So it's, like, not dying.
But, like, I thought people generally use it to mean, like, you can't die of old age, specifically.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right, because, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd have to... Depends on what you're talking about, but...
Right. I mean, if you're talking about, like, vampires, like, you can drive a stake through their heart, but they're not going to die of old age, right?
So how old would you have to be before you believed that you were immortal?
Well, at 125.
100, at 100, I believe that something's up, but maybe, like...
125.
150, maybe?
So I wonder the world record for the oldest, at least since they've been keeping world records, is probably like 120?
I think it was...
Yeah.
I think it was, and we might have mentioned this podcast, I forgot, but I think it was 144.
Here, let me...
It was 122.
I will
the
ask.
Oldest but verified... Someone, I already looked it up.
Okay.
The oldest verified person on record... was a French lady who lived to the age of 122 years and 164 days.
So 125 is a pretty good answer. And I bet that she didn't feel like she was 25 years
there
old.
There was somebody in Indonesia that claimed to be 146.
But they couldn't verify it?
They had a picture, though.
So one thing that would be crazy is, like, the older you get, the faster time seems to move. And I think it's because, like, relative to your experience... Like, when you're young, time moves really slow because, you know, Henry's only been alive 11 years. But I've been alive four times as long as Henry. And so, for me, a year doesn't seem as long. I bet if you got to be, like, 125, it would just seem like the days are just flying by.
Yeah. I keep on losing my train of thought. When I was little, I used to think that people... Like, normally aged 100. And I was, like, really shocked to figure out that a lot of people, like, generally aged, like, 80.
Same.
All right. We have one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
All right. I have in a bag over here that is probably going to be really loud...
That is...
Some Lay's potato chips. And I really probably should have looked for small Lay's bags, because these are huge Lay's bags. And there are three of them.
Yeah, they're like party size.
But they are kind of the crazy flavors of Lay's potato chips.
Okay.
Lay's is cool.
And these are all kind of southern flavors. One is fried green tomato flavor. One is chicken and waffles flavor. And one is southern biscuits and gravy.
Lay's is pretty trustworthy, right?
Yeah,
yeah, these flavors are kind of crazy. So we're going to try these. I'm going to pass them around. We're going to do them one at a time. We're going to mute the mics so we don't chew into the mics.
Yeah.
I think at least one or two.
We need to do this pretty quick because it's getting kind of late on a school night.
I think at least...
I bet they'll all be good.
I think at least one or two of these are going to be good.
All right, so the first one is...
I was going to say that usually Frito-Lay has pretty good chips and doesn't, like, make... Very many that are bad.
Well, we'll see. All right, passing around the fried green tomatoes. I'm going to mute us all now.
This is giving me flashbacks to one of the early Treat Yourselves where we had Asian snacks and we had those tomato candies.
What do you think of the fried green tomato Lay's?
They're delicious.
They're definitely better than those candies. I'd give them an okay.
I give them delicious. They're exactly what I expected. They taste sort of... Like, artificially fried? It's weird.
Something's off about the tomato flavor. Maybe it's just because
it's very mild.
They taste fried, and they taste like they have a little bit of a mayonnaise sauce on them.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me a little bit of sour cream and onion chips, but not as strong. It's like what sour cream and onion chips would taste like if most of the dusting of seasoning was kind of brushed off.
I agree with Henry. I think they are.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Delicious.
Weird to hear that sound clip that clean.
Yeah.
Henry or William, what do you think? You said that they were okay.
Mm-hmm. I used to think that that clip was just, okay.
Not Oklahoma,
and then,
okay.
And then in class, we were learning about the 13 colonies, and they showed us a video of the, like...
Oklahoma thing.
Yeah,
it's a musical. Right.
The next one is chicken and waffles. This one, I think, has the potential to be either good or terrible.
Okay.
I think, honestly, they're all going to be good.
Chicken and waffles. That's my prediction. Fried chicken.
I mean, who really knows what they're doing?
Waffles and syrup. All right, so I'm passing it around, and we're going to mute the mics until you're done chewing. All right. Okay. It's a little bit freaky how much they get the flavor, like chicken and waffles.
Yes. Like, it tastes a lot like waffles at first, and then the aftertaste sort of chicken-y.
It tastes like fried chicken, and it tastes like waffles, and it tastes like syrup.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
It's like they're magicians.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like they could get away with labeling it as just maple. Because that's, like, the most that I can taste, like maple syrup.
I can salty taste the maple, too,
but
though.
there is a chickeny flavor in there.
There's chicken fried aftertaste. Chicken.
It tastes more like chicken soup than fried chicken to me.
What do you guys think?
It's like the chip equivalent of the key lime pie Twizzlers. They're where they got, like, so everything. Good.
It's really interesting.
And they got perfect. It's delicious.
It's kind of creepy, though. I'm going to call it just okay.
Yeah. I don't think I would eat them a bunch.
I would eat them.
I'm going to get that delicious. I would smack on that.
All right, the boys say...
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
And Mom and I say... Okay. All right, last one.
Is a very southern
thing.
This
one says it was actually the winner of the taste test in 2015. It is southern biscuits and gravy.
I think I know what to expect with this.
It has to be good, right?
You got to expect it. They nailed it.
That was... Whoa, I just... Heard my mic turn on. That is a lot like biscuits and gravy.
Again, it's freaky how much they get the taste the same.
I can even like taste the sage in the sausage in the gravy.
Yes. Yeah.
It's that white. So if you've never had southern biscuits and gravy, it's that white sausagey gravy that you put over biscuits for breakfast in the morning. And it tastes just like it.
I'm going to give that delicious, although it's not quite as good as the second one.
Did they, like, make multiple and then ask professionals, like, which takes... It's, like, the most, like, biscuits and gravy, and then made more, and it's, like, which tastes the most, like, biscuits and gravy, and they kept on doing that over and over again until they perfected it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think they have people that are just, like, flavor wizards, and they figure out exactly what components the flavor has in it and then reproduce it.
I still think that my all-time favorite Lay's, though, is the lemon one.
Limon?
If there's a limon, I don't know. If there's one of those that was also that also had vinegar on it, I'd eat that.
Right. Totally lime would be good.
So what's your conclusion? I'm struggling a little bit with how I would rank this. It's somewhere between okay and delicious. Like, I definitely it tastes like biscuits and gravy, but I don't know if that's what I want in my potato chip or not.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
I kind of still rate it delicioso.
I wish it was mashed potato and gravy flavor instead.
It kind of is that.
Mashed potato and gravy, I bet they'll do that someday.
They might.
And completely nail it.
Honestly, I think it's good. I like it better than the chicken and waffles, but I don't like it as much as the fried green tomato.
I think I agree. The fried green tomato was my favorite. The chicken and waffles was interesting. But slightly disturbing, and I'm going to also call it okay. It's not bad, but it's not what I would call delicious.
Wait, do you mean like disturbing as in like creepy?
Well, it's disturbing how closely they got it to the actual thing.
It's when your chip tastes just like something meaty that's weird to me.
But you're still eating a potato chip, so it's an odd experience.
Yeah. So
I'm going to call it okay.
Mm-hmm. I am, yeah. I'll go with
okay. What do you boys think?
Delicious.
Delicious. I'd snack on it.
Henry thought they were all delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
All right. And that is our podcast. So thank you, boys, for staying up with me on a school night to do a podcast.
Anyways, do not stalk us in real life. Stalk us on Twitter.
So thank you for participating. Thank you, everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. We are on Twitter at TTD Podcast. We are on Instagram and Facebook and on the internet at Talk to Dad Podcast. So our website is talktodadpodcast.com. You can, if you're interested in helping us out, one thing you can do is you can subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or on Google Play or anywhere, any other platform you use to get your podcasts. And one thing we've got coming up, I know that we're going to do some promotion for this, but in the month of October, we will be a part of the promotion called Hashtag two pods a day. More about that in the future. I've been very interested in kind of learning more about indie podcasts or podcasts that aren't backed up by a celebrity or a big media empire, but it's just people that like to podcast and have fun. And I've been getting to know more podcasters, and I'd be certainly interested in having some of those podcasters on our podcast and doing some cross-promotional stuff like that. But anyway, this has been a lot of fun, and I would like to thank the Foxy Morons, the band that allowed us to use their music for our intro and outro music, and we will see you later. Don't wait for after the inspector.